Everyone in here has been part of numerous organizations or teams throughout your life. You've been part of work teams. You've been part of a family team. You've been part of teams probably in school, maybe sports teams or the band or scholastic teams. You've been part of community teams. We've all been part of many organizations or teams. And if we have, we know the importance of leadership in those teams. Think of some of the teams you've been on, and how was it like when you've had good leaders for those teams? Also, what has it been like when you've had poor leaders over the teams that you've been a part of? Leadership is critical to the effectiveness of teams, and that is especially true when it comes to the church as well. This morning, as we look to God's word, we're going to be reminded that as we saw in chapter 1, Timothy was being charged with putting a stop to the false teachers in Ephesus. And that means there was a leadership problem. Either the leaders were the ones doing the false teaching, or they were allowing it to happen. One of their most basic and important responsibilities they were failing at. And so today we see, as we continue in this whole section of the instructions for the household of God, we're going to see today instructions for qualifications for church leaders. And we're tying this in, as we mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago, can't remember when it was, but we're tying this message today into the elder assessment process. I'll talk more about that later on in this message, but today's message is going to answer the question, what are the biblical qualifications for church leaders? That's what we see in today's passage. But I want to do a little broader overview of church leadership. So we're going to look at three additional questions today. Why do we have the eldership form of church leadership? Why do we have that here at Covenant? We're also going to look at what are the primary roles and responsibilities of elders. And then lastly, we're going to look at how do we select and assess elders here at Covenant Community. Those are the things that we're going to look at today. And before we do, please join me one more time as we go to the Lord. Lord, again, we thank you and praise you that we are here this morning, that we're able to worship you. And as always, Lord, this time of service is another time of worship. As your word is proclaimed, we worship you by humbling ourselves before your truth. May we do that today, Lord. May your word be clearly spoken. May it be done so accurately according to your will. And may it also be received that way as well. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so the first question we're going to look at this morning is, why the eldership form of church leadership? And we see this beginning to be answered in 1 Timothy 3:1. The saying is trustworthy, and if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. So this verse 3:1, this whole section begins with the saying is trustworthy. This is the second time Timothy has used this phrase to start a section. And it's basically what he's saying, what I'm about to share with you, you can trust, and you'll be wise to embrace it. And he goes on, and he says, this office of overseer. It's a word only used four times in the New Testament. It's one of two offices we see in the New Testament for the church. One office is overseer, the other office is deacon. And we'll talk about deacons next week. But the primary leaders of the church, according to this passage, are referred to as overseers. There's four words in the New Testament for the same office. It's overseer, used four times, elder, used 20 times in the New Testament, pastor, and shepherd, used once in the New Testament. So the most common word for leadership, leaders in the church, are elders. And that's why we use that term here at Covenant. The reason we have an eldership form of church leadership here is because God has commanded it through his word. That's what he said. What we see in the New Testament is this form and this form of leadership only, the eldership form of church leadership. And here are some verses that reinforce that. Acts 14:23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to be to the Lord whom they had believed. And this is referring to Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And they went out, started sharing the gospel with people. People came to faith. Churches were started, and they appointed elders over those churches. We see in Acts 20:17, now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. This is Paul calling the elders of Ephesus, who he and Timothy had appointed. And if you recall, I mentioned a few weeks ago, they had appointed these elders about 8 years before this 1 Timothy letter was written. So between that time and this time, some issues have arisen. Also, Titus 1:5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. This is Paul giving instruction to Titus. He's to appoint elders, you see, in every town, because at that time, each town had its own church. And then finally, we see Peter in 1 Peter 5:1 and 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among your care. And so here Peter is writing this letter to Christian churches everywhere. And he's saying in this portion of the letter, he's exhorting the elders to shepherd the flock under their care. Okay, now notice in every one of these and everywhere else we see the word elder is in this case used in the New Testament, it is in plural form. It is God's will that the leadership of the church be a team of elders, not an individual person. The team is to share the roles and responsibilities that God has for the church. And our team of elders, Vince, will you stand up? Jed, Marion, please stand up just for a minute, guys, because there's probably maybe a few people that don't know who our elders are in this church. This is our team of elders that God has called. Thank you, guys. Since becoming involved in church leadership, this is an area that I'm very passionate about, because I know the importance of it. I know the importance of leadership when it's done biblically, and I've seen it when it's not been done biblically. It's very important that we do things God's way, especially in all areas, but this in particular is an area that has to be done God's way. It's His plan. And I really feel sorry for churches that don't have a team of elders. I feel sorry because God never called an individual to do this role. It's very difficult to have the time and the talent and the wisdom and the abilities to do everything that shepherds are supposed to do. That's why there is a team to do this. And so, according to God's words, churches are to be led by a team of qualified elders with certain roles and responsibilities. And this leads us into the second question we're going to look at today. What are these roles and responsibilities? I'm not going to go into great detail here. I just want to give you a high-level overview of what the primary roles and responsibilities for elders are. And the first ones, elders are to watch over and protect the church. And we have verses like Acts 20:28. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. And this is just saying, just like shepherds watch over and protect sheep, so elders are to watch over and protect God's flock that He's put under our care. The next verse, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. We're going to be giving an account to God for how well we've watched over and protected you. And so there's times where maybe something needs to be refuted in your life, or maybe there is someone who has wandered from the faith, or maybe somebody has a wrong attitude, or they're approaching things in a wrong way. We have a responsibility that we're going to stand before God for, where we are to protect you in these things. So sometimes you feel like we're pestering you, or sometimes you feel like we're pressuring you. It's us doing the role God has called us to do. And we do strive to do that in love, but it can still feel like pressure or feel like we're nagging at you. It's something that we have a responsibility for, again, that we're going to go before God and have to share that with him. So doing this requires great knowledge of God's word. It requires us to be spiritually sensitive, and it requires us to be courageous in following through on God's word. And I just want to say this right now. We don't do this perfectly. We don't do any of these things perfectly. It's one of the reasons we're to bear with one another. So forgive us when we fail in being the shepherds that God has called us to be. Please bear with us and help us to overcome whatever deficiencies that we might have in loving you the way God has called us to love you. If we're failing in some area, let us know, please. All right, the next one. Elders are to teach God's word to the church. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded you." And that's one of the reasons we try to teach and preach through the whole counsel of God's word. Jesus said, teach them everything. 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God." One of the reasons we teach the word of God, it brings life to the spiritually dead and blind and lost. And if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we know that through his word and through his Holy Spirit, we've been born again. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Are you getting tired of seeing these set of verses? I share them a lot. It's just a reminder to all of us. It's God's word that equips us to live this life in this world that he's called us to live. Sometimes this difficult life, he's given us an instruction manual. And in every situation, he's shown us how he wants us to live. And the more we know this manual, the better we will live, the more full we will live according to his truth. Next, elders are to manage the affairs of the church. 1 Timothy 5:17, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." Titus 1:7, "For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach." A steward is someone who serves a master. And he takes care and watches over and manages his possessions, like his home and everything that he has. And in a similar way, stewards are to manage the household of God. Now, let me clarify that. That doesn't mean elders do everything that's needed to be done in this church. Elders could not do that, and we certainly do not do that here. So many of you are involved in ministry, and that's awesome. Our responsibility is to oversee, just to make sure that all the ministry is aligned the way God wants it to be aligned according to his word. That's the responsibility we have, not to do it all, but just to make sure it's aligned according to God's word. And then finally, elders are to care for the practical needs of the church. James 5:14, "If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God." And so elders are to visit the sick. Elders are to help those who are suffering loss, those who might be weak in their faith, or those who need counsel, or those who need prayed over. Again, this doesn't mean this is the elders' responsibility to do all of this. It's not. We are to love one another. But the elders are to set an example for others to follow in caring for one another. Okay, one additional thing that I want to mention before we go on. We do not see in Scripture any hierarchy among the elders. And by that, I mean that there's not one elder that's higher than another elder or more important than another elder. We're called to collectively as a team fulfill the responsibilities of elders. Now, Jed and I have more time to do that. And so we're more visible than Vince and Marion, but we are not more special and we are not more important. We are a team, and together we're using the gifts and time and talents God has given us to lead this church. So when you pray for the leadership of the church, please be praying for all of the elders, and not just us, but all of the other leaders in the church as well. Now we can go on to the next question that we find in today's passage. What are the biblical qualifications for elders? And I just want to make, before we get into this, the point that in the world today, there's a pretty good idea among people what they want to see in their leaders. In the world, a lot of the organizations, the teams, they want leaders that are intelligent, that have the right degrees and have gone to the right universities. They want leaders that have a proven track record of success. They want leaders who are dynamic and very good communicators, speakers. They want leaders who are powerful and can take charge and move the organization in the right way. In a lot of places in the world, that's what teams and organizations want in their leaders. And what we often see is the world carries over into the church. And then so there are some churches that their qualifications for their leaders are those things. They want powerful men with the right degrees who are good communicators and those things. And so often that means that leaders in church are businessmen and wealthy people and community leaders. And I'm not saying those can't be good leaders in the church. They can if they meet the biblical qualifications for elders. So churches, it's very important for churches to have biblically qualified elders, not qualified by the world's measurement of leadership. And so what we are going to see then, as we look at today's passages, we're going to see that there's three qualifications given in today's scripture and we find in the broader New Testament. First of all, first qualification for an elder is God's calling upon their life. Second is a heartfelt willingness to serve. And then third, possessing certain character and ability qualifications. And we're going to look at each one of these, beginning with God's calling. This we see in verse 3:1. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And so we see here that this is saying that the office of overseer or elder is a noble task. And it's a noble task. It's a good task. It's a right thing. It's a honorable thing to pursue because it is a God thing. This office of elder is something that God has established. And his word tells us that the leaders that he gives to churches are a gift from him. And we see this in Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. It was God who did this. God has placed his calling upon men to be leaders in the church. Now, some of you might say, well, what does that mean? God call you up one day and say that he wanted you to be a leader in his church? Did you hear his audible voice saying that? I did not. For me, it was when I was 39 years old. I was approached by some people who wanted me to be an elder in a church. I had only been a Christian for 5 years. When they asked me, I told them, there has to be more qualified men than me in this church to lead. And I told them no. And they continued to ask. And so what I did then was I prayed about it. And my prayer was essentially, Lord, if you want me to be a leader in your church, then you make this clear. And if you don't, then stop this. And he made the way for that to happen. And I trusted then, and I still do it today, that was God's calling on my life to serve. And that story is similar. Vince and Marion and Jed would say something very similar. Every good and qualified elder that I've ever met or had the privilege of serving with have approached this in a very similar way. They understand, they have some understanding of the responsibility of this role, and they don't want to be in it unless they know it is God's will for them. And that leads us into this next qualification, a heartfelt willingness to serve. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. The Greek word for aspire means to set his heart on. And this is saying that if God has called, he does a heart work here that will lead a person to be willing and even want to serve in this role. And I will say right now, if somebody's in this role and they haven't been called, and they haven't been given a heartfelt desire for this role, they will not succeed in it. They will either not last very long in it, or if they do, the church that they're leading is going to be hurt. You have to have God's calling, and he has to do a work in your heart. If God's calling is not on you, in a lot of cases, you'll want to run from this role. And that's true of not just elders or leaders in the church. That's true of missionaries. That's true of others who've dedicated their lives to ministry. They have to know God is calling them to do this, and they have to know that he's done a work in their heart to call them to this. Often, when God calls and he affects our hearts, along with that will come some understanding that this role of a leader in God's church is one of great responsibility, of great blessing, and also often great burden. But again, if God has called somebody into this role, he provides everything they need to fulfill the role. So, if God hasn't called, stay far away. If God has called, trust him and he'll take care of things. That's one thing you can pray for us leaders for. Just keep trusting God. Keep knowing he's got this taken care of and not get concerned about things, but trust God in all things. All right, this then takes us to the third qualification, possessing certain character and ability qualifications. And this is where I'd like for you to take out the sheet that was handed out to you. If somebody has been called by God, if they have a heartfelt willingness to serve, then they're going to also possess certain character and ability qualifications that will be affirmed by the church. And that's the list you have in front of you. And I'm just going to quickly go down through this list and explain them. The first one is above reproach. It means literally blameless. It doesn't mean the person was without sin. It just means that their life is characterized by faithfulness to God. Doesn't mean, for example, that they never, ever get angry. It just means they're not characterized by that in their life. That's not who they are. Next, a husband of one wife. Literally, it's a one-woman man. Doesn't mean the elder has to be married. If he's not, whether he is or not, he has to be sexually pure. If he is married, he has to love and be devoted to his wife. sober-minded, moderate, not given to excess or rash behavior. When things come along and decisions need to be made, it's not just quickly made with just shallow thinking. It's prayerfully done and guided by God's word, and whatever time is needed for that to happen, happens. Next is self-control. It means balanced in judgment. It's an outward expression of an inward self-control. I've always found this word interesting in Scripture. Self-control really means being under God's control. So it's kind of ironic, really. Usually when we hear self, it's a very negative thing. But in this case, it just means that we're submitted to God's will. Number five, respectable, of good behavior, orderly. The opposite is chaos and utter confusion. An elder is to have an ordered life. Six, hospitable. Means that the elder is willing to share his possession, share his finances, and above all, share his life. It means the elder needs to be approachable. Seven, able to teach. The elder has to be able to handle the word of God, to teach it, to be able to defend it, to refute false teachings. As we talked about earlier, it is what gives spiritual life, and it is what guides us in the way God wants us to live. Number eight, not a drunkard, not under the influence of alcohol or drugs or any other substances that would interfere with the influence of God. Not violent. It literally means not a giver of blows or a striker. So someone who, you know, is willing to pop someone to get his way is not qualified to be an elder. Just the opposite. They're to be gentle, patient, gracious, forgiving. Again, we're to bear with each other. Not quarrelsome, not contentious. And part of this we've referred to before. Part of it is just understanding people. So we really, elders need to be listeners. Need to first understand before being understood. Not a lover of money. Elders are really to have kind of open hands with what they possess. And if God wants to put something in those hands, that's great. And if he wants it to go out, it needs to go out. All right, 13. He must manage his own house well. Talking about what we talked about earlier, a good steward. Manage his finances, manage his marriage and family. And tied into that is 14, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Children must be obedient to elders. They must not be able to charge an elder with having wild and disobedient children. And tied into that, in today's scripture, it says in verse 5, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And that's essentially saying, if I cannot manage the Mullen Camp household, then I have no business whatsoever of trying to manage the church. 15, not a recent convert. An elder should not be a new believer. It needs to be someone mature in the faith. And that's not necessarily measured by length of time. It's measured by knowledge and obedience to the word of God. Maturity. And there's a warning in today's passage in the second half of verse 6. If it's a new believer, he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation and the devil. So one of the problems with putting someone who's not prepared in a leadership position is they can become prideful, and that being a stumbling block for them and have to face God's judgment. Number 16, an elder must be well thought of by outsiders, by those outside the church. In some sense, this role is a public invisible role. In other words, probably most of this community, a lot of this area, know who the elders of this church are. And we have to have a level of respect in their minds. It doesn't mean they're going to agree with us. It doesn't mean they even like us. But it means that they know our lives And there really isn't much they can point to because we're living faithfully according to the Word of God. And then there are some 17 through 22 also come from Titus, the letter of Titus. He must, yeah.
I think our numbering might be different.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well thought of by outsiders. The next one is, must not be arrogant. Whatever number that is. Okay. I'm not sure how I did that, but I hope you're getting it here. Okay. As long as it's from God's word, that's okay. All right. Must not be arrogant. Must not be proud or stubborn, forcing his own ideas or opinions. Must not be quick-tempered, easily angered. Must be a lover of good. Must love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. Must be upright, meaning doing the right things. Must be holy, devout, separated from sin, set apart for God. Must hold firmly to the trustworthy word. Must hold firmly to the word of God. And then lastly, if he is married, his wife must be worthy of respect. She must be in high esteem. Not a malicious talker, not someone who is sharp or loose with her tongue. They must be temperate, meaning sober-minded and well-balanced. They must be trustworthy. So, qualified leaders will have been called by God, will be given a heartfelt desire to serve, and will meet the qualifications that we just went over. And I just want to add that, yes, these are lofty qualifications, but they're qualifications that all believers should be striving for. This should be something that all of us should be more and more characterized by. And I just want to take this time to thank God for the leadership that he's given to this church. We've lost some good leaders. We've lost John and Luke and Steve. And those guys were qualified leaders in the church. But you know what God's done? He's raised up other leaders. That's also qualified. And so the church of the past with those guys as leaders is never going to be the same. But the church of the future will never be the same either. Hopefully it will just be aligned to whatever God's will is and what he desires. And for me, it's one of the great affirmations of this church, that it is God's desire that this church be started here, and it's God's desire that this church continue, because he's always provided what we've needed. Leaders and everything else that we've needed to be here. That's God's gift, and I praise him for that. And then quickly we're going to wrap up with how do we select and assess elders here at Covenant. I want to just quickly go over what the process is for selecting elders. When the current elders determine that the Lord is leading us to consider new elders, there's some steps that are taken. The first one is we approach the individual to see if they're willing to be considered to be an elder. So the last time we did this was with Jed last summer. We approached Jed. Jed, are you willing to be considered for an elder, to be evaluated whether you qualify for being elder? Jed said yes. So we came to the church and we asked you to pray. And we asked you to pray, God's will be done, whatever that was, for Jed to be in that role or for him not to be in that role. We then met with Jed and we talked to him about his calling from the Lord, his heartfelt willingness to serve in this way, and we reviewed the biblical qualifications with Jed. We went through all of that, and after doing so, we were encouraged and we felt like the process should continue. And so we brought Jed's name before you to get your input into Jed's qualifications as an elder. You affirmed or denied him. You provided us with feedback. We took all of that then, the elders did, and we gave final consideration to this decision. Should Jed be in this role or not? And we decided, yes, God is calling Jed into this role. And then Jed was taken before the church, and he was commissioned into this role. That's how elders are added to the church. Now, what about assessing current elders? You see, in this process of being called to be an elder, you can remain in this eldership role in this church for the rest of your life. But there's going to be an assessment process every 2 years to determine if you remain qualified. And this is just something we put in place to ensure that this church is being led by qualified leaders. Again, I've been in churches before where leaders had gotten put into place that may or may not have been qualified, and it was very difficult then for them to get out of that position once they were in it. And so this process, the purpose of it is, again, to ensure that we have qualified leaders leading this church, but it also is a way for us to get feedback from you that can help us grow in our role of being elders. So part of this process includes a self-assessment. So as we begin this process now, I will assess myself against the qualifications for an elder. Each of the other elders will also assess themselves. We will assess each other. We'll do a peer assessment. And then we will ask you to assess us as well. And with that, we're asking you to prayerfully consider each elder against the biblical qualifications. So take this document that we've given you today and prayerfully consider each one of us against the biblical qualifications. We're just asking you to use that as a measurement and connect with the Lord in doing this process. And so as you do that, then affirm or deny each one of us. And if the Lord's laying upon your heart something that he would have you share with us, please write that down. It could be some strength we have as a form of affirmation. It could be some area that you feel needs to be worked on or improved in us. And then finally sign it and turn it in. You can do that by either giving that to one of the elders or you can put it in one of the boxes. There's one in back and there's one down in the fellowship room as well. So when all of this is finished, after we go through all of this, the elders will sit down, we'll go through all the different comments, we'll talk about them, and then we'll actually have a vote as to whether we believe each elder is still qualified to be in this role. And then we'll provide some feedback to you on all of that. If there are any other questions you have about eldership, please see me or one of the other elders. We would be happy to discuss those with you. Now, there's one question that wasn't answered today. It's a very important question. Why is it so important for churches to have biblically qualified leaders or elders? That question is going to be answered next week in the rest of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. So we will look at that then. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for just your approach to everything, Lord, including the approach of having qualified leaders oversee your church. And Lord, I know each one of the elders would be quick to admit none of us are perfect. But we thank you, Lord, for how you have worked in our life and how you've equipped us, how you've called us, how you have given us a heartfelt desire to serve. And Lord, we pray you will just continue to equip and continue to help us, Lord, to serve in the ways that you would have us to. Father, I pray for those among us who you also may be equipping and calling at some point. Father, that they would just be submissive to you in the ways that you would desire. Lord, that it wouldn't be them or anyone else telling them whether they should or shouldn't be in this role. But Lord, that they would just listen to your voice and respond to it faithfully. And Lord, whatever your will is, we pray you would just make that clear. Father, as a church family, may you just continue to help us to be faithful in every way on the callings that you have placed upon each one of us, to use the gifts and talents that you have given us so that we can love each other, so that we can love the world around us, so that you can be glorified. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.